Daf is Daf Ches. So let's take it the last line of Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara is still talking about Bedikas Chametz. That, of course, is a big sugya in the first parak here. So the Brisa begins, Tani Rabbanan, Ein Bodkin Lo Leor HaChama, Lo Leor HaLavana, Velo Leor HaAvuka. A person should not check for Chametz using the light of the sun, nor the light of the moon, nor the light of a big fire, a bonfire of some sort, Ela Leor HaNer. A person should only use a candle. We'll see some of the reasons why. Because the candle is the best form of checking bedika. We'll see four or five reasons in the Gemara a few lines down. And afal pisha ein raya ledavar, even though there is no proof in the pesukim, this is zeichel ledavar. There's some reference to it based on a few different gzeir shavas as we discussed on yesterday's daf, and we'll just read through them quickly. The Gemara quotes the pesukim shenemar. It says in the pasuk shivas yamim seor lo yimatzi bivatechem. Vomer, it says in another pasuk vayichabes begadol heichel. Vomer beisahi achabes es yushlam bineiros. Vomer ne hashem nishmas adam chovetz kol chavdei batin. So based on these few different pesukim, as again yesterday's daf elaborated a little bit more on these pesukim, we're able to learn that ner is the best form of the bedikas chametz. So the Gemara now says, "Hai or hachama hechidami." So when the Gemara had said, the Brisa had said, you should not do bedikas chametz with the light of the sun. What exactly is the case there? When could you possibly use the light of the sun to do bedikas chametz that we're saying don't use it? So in name of the chutz, if you're talking about an open courtyard and there's no ceiling, there's no walls, wide open, and that what the Gemara says, don't use it, or chama, rather use it ner. So hama Rava, Rava says, chatzar einot tzricha bedika. You don't have to check a chatzar. You don't check outside for bedikas chametz. No one ever checks their backyard, their front yard, because mipnesha or vin mitzuyan sham, because there are ravens there and other birds and other animals, squirrels, or raccoons, whatever else lives in your area. They eat up all the crumbs. There's no chametz left over. You don't even have to do bedika. So that wasn't what the Gemara was entertaining. Elabach sadra, it must have been an achsadra. So there's a bit of machlokas how to define an achsadra. Different sugyas indicate different types of achsadras, but here at least the simple understanding is an achsadra is a room that has a building that has a ceiling, and there are three walls, and the fourth wall is wide open. So it's not, the ravens aren't coming in it, because there's a rooftop, they don't come in easily, but it's exposed to light, at least on one of the sides. One wall is not there, so the light comes in. So that's the situation. Well, the Gemara says, Ha'amar Rava Achsadja Le'ora Nivdekes. This is actually a case you are allowed to use the sun to check the Achsadja. We're looking for a case where you can't. Because since the wall is down, it's so exposed to the sun, it's very easy to check the different corners and crevices of the achsadra. So we're looking for a case where you could have used the sun, and we say not to use the sun. So what's that case? So Gemara says, really, lo tzricha la'aruba diba cheder. So it's talking about you have a room that's closed from all four sides, it's closed, there's a ceiling on top, but there's a sunroof. There's a sunlight on some top, the window on top, and the roof and the ceiling. So there the Gemara says, utahecha. So now the sun comes from the top, one window at least, and the Gemara says, don't use the orachama. So now the Gemara says, well, where in that room should you not use the orachama? Udehecha. If you're talking about right beneath the sunlight, so why not? That's no different than achsadra. If you are in an area where the sun is coming in very strong directly to the area, you should be able to use the sunlight. So it must be referring to elolit stadim. So I have a room like this, and in the center there's a window with the sun coming down. So in the center, I could check. But on the corners, where the sun rays are not reaching the corners and the sides, that would say don't rely on the sunlight from the roof. Rather, you should use a candle in each of those corners. So the Gemara now challenges this question we had said above, that you have to use a ner, don't use an avuka. You can't use a big fire of some sort. So the Gemara wants to know, is that really true? Avuka, lo? You couldn't use an avuka, a bonfire, a big flame to check the bedikas chametz? We're about to bring a Gemara, rather a few psukim, which indicates that avuka is better, it's stronger than a candle. Now the drush here is a little bit tricky. It's hard to understand the tight of the psukim. Rashi and Marsha have a bit of a different interpretation, but we're trying to prove here, I'll say before we read it inside, we're trying to prove that the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu relative to the light of Tzadikim is an avuka to a ner. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light is an avuka, and the candle, the light of a tzaddik, is only a ner. So we see, certainly, the light of Hashem is greater than the light of a tzaddik, so avuka is better than a ner. So how does the Gemara prove this? So it's based on the pasuk in Chavakuk. He writes, the noga ka'or tiyeh, the light of the noga, the light of the tzaddik is going to be like the light of sheshesh mei breshes. Karnayim miyadolo, there's going to be some like light that's shining off the face of the tzaddik. Visham chevyon uzo, and it's going to be there in the face of the strength of Hashem. So again, unclear how to touch the words. Rashi reads through this, and the Marsha as well. But the overall point here, even though the light of the tzaddik is going to be so great, it's only going to be a ner relative to the avuka, the light of the Shechina. So we see either way, the avuka is greater than that of an air. So if an air is usable for bedikas chametz, so certainly an avuka should be used for bedikas chametz. And the Gemara adds one more layer on this. Vamarava avuka lavdala mitzah minamuvchar. When it comes to the bracha of Mer Ha'esh and Matzei Shabbos, we have to use a candle, as we know. The reason why we use a candle is actually Sugim Psachim later on in Daf Nun Gimor Nadal or so. The Sugim there talk about that Adam Arishom, he was rubbing the rocks and he created fire for the first time. So we celebrate the birthday of the fire every Matzei Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us here what type of flame should be used. It should be used avuka. What's an avuka? Two wicks together, two candles together makes a nice big flame. But avuka is better than an air. So we have two proofs that avuka is better than an air. Number one is the psukim describing the or of a tzaddik relative to the or of the Shechina. And number two is avuka is better than an air when it comes to Avdallah. So why would an avuka not be good for checking b'dichas chametz? So Gemara is going to answer around four different answers. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, ze yachol lachniso l'chorin l'sadakin, v'ze einu yachol lachniso l'chorin l'sadakin. Because a candle, it's so small, you could fit into little holes and cracks and check every part of your house. An avuka, a big flame, you can't put near your wall, you can't put in your holes. It's a very nice light, but it's quite dangerous, forget the danger, that'll be actually a later answer, but just it physically won't fit inside cracks, it won't fit inside holes, and it will be ineffective to check the hardest parts of your house. Another reason the Gemara says, Rav Zvid Amar, Zeh Oro Lufanav, Vzeh Oro Lachorav. When it comes to the candle, when you hold the candle, it only creates light in front of you, what you're looking at. There's no light behind you, it's too small, very small light, whatever is in front of you. The avuka makes a whole big light, even the light behind you. I don't know exactly how this works physically, maybe you guys could enlighten me a little bit, but it sounds like from the Pashup Shah of the Gemara, the avuka actually lights up behind me, not in front of me. Yeah, it's
Interesting.
Very good. Okay, there we go. I knew you'd have a good answer. So you put the flame away from you, it's going to create a shadow. It won't be able to see in front of you as well, as opposed to a candle which you'll place in front of you. Very good. That makes a lot of sense. So then the Gemara says, Rapapa Amar, Hai Bais, Hai La Bais, that I'm scared of a flame, of a avuka, but I'm not scared of a candle. A little candle, if a candle falls, it'll probably go out. But if a big torch, if it falls, it could be a whole big fire. So I'm more scared using and coming close to different parts of my house with the avuka. So that's a third reason why you shouldn't use avuka and instead rather use a ner. And the fourth and final answer, the Gemara is Shita's Ravina. Ravina Amar, Hai Mashach Nehura, Vahai Miktaf Aktufe. The candle is it's steady, it's a nice flame. The big fire, the avuka, is like flashing up and down, moving back and forth. It's hard to catch your eye. The flame gets big, it gets small, it moves right, it moves left. So it's very hard to focus on what you're looking at. So therefore, it's better, again, to use the ner than it is to use an avuka. There are now quotes from the mission. We had at the end of the mission, Daf Beis, the first mission of the Masechta, it spoke about where a person should inspect for Bedikas Chametz. So the mission had said that when it comes to a place called Makum She'ein Machnisim Bel Chametz, Ein Tarch Bedika. If I don't, let's say, bring Chametz into my garage, there's no need to check. I know for sure Bedikas Chametz is only necessary in rooms where I actually bring chametz. I don't bring chametz into my garage, so I don't need to check it. So the Gemara wants to know that statement, that klal, is coming to include what area that wasn't already mentioned. So the Gemara says, Kol makom la'asuyemai. What's that coming to include? La'asuyi hadetani rabbanim, to include the following braisa, chore beis ha'elyonim v'atachtonim, to include the holes that are on top of the high part of my house. Let's say I have, I don't know, 15 feet high walls and ceilings. And there's some holes on top. I can't reach the holes on top of that 15-foot wall. Or they're very low down where it's very inconvenient for me to use. Holes that are inconvenient, that's very unlikely for me to use, those don't require bedikas chametz, because I don't use those holes. And furthermore, hagag hayetzia, when it comes to a rooftop that has a pitch in it, so that too, since any chametz that may have been on the rooftop will probably fall off. The Gag HaMigdal, a roof on top of a tower, Refes Bakar, an area where there's a cattle. If any chametz were to be there, the cattle would eat it. Velulin, which are the area, the chicken coops where the chicken eats any of the chametz left over. umitvein, where you leave store some grains, v'otos yain, v'otos shemen, and storage houses of wine and of oil, ein tzrichin bedika. These are areas that don't require bedika, either because you don't bring chametz there, or even if you do bring chametz, any of the animals will eat them. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, mita hacholekes besoch habayis, umafsekes tzricha bedika. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that if you have a bed or a bench or something, that they had like one room houses, but they wanted to have separate uses. They put like a little dividers in between this part, a partition there, a partition there. So if you have a bed or a mattress or I don't know, some type of bench that's in between room A and room B in your house, so he says you actually do have to check. And Rashi explained to you that you're checking beneath the area of the bed. In between, if I have my kitchen here, my dining room over there, so even though I don't walk through the partition, but it's possible I used the area beneath the partition, beneath the bed, so I have to check that area as well. But this is the Braisa. So the Gemara then says, I quote the following Shiloh, which says, Urminhu, Chor Shebein Adam Lechavero, Ze Bodek Ad Makom Shiado Magas, Ze Bodek Ad Makom Shiado Magas, if there's a hole between my, let's say I have a wall. We share a wall of a house, a wall of a courtyard, and my I have to reach and inspect the hole up until my hand can reach, and you inspect your end of the hole until your hand can reach. Vashar, the remaining part that neither of us could reach, mevatla beliba, if I can't access it, so I don't have to do bedikas chametz, I'm mevatla beliba, whatever I can't reach. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer mita hacholekes besoch habayis, ve'etzim vavanim sedurim tachtea, umafsekes einat tzricha bedika. Here, in this braisa, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that if you have a bed dividing different parts of the house, or you have a pile of rocks, a pile of wood, that are organized in such a way, you don't have to check the area that's beneath it. So the Gemara points out there seems to be a kasha, mita amita. There's a kasha because one braisa says you do have to check beneath the bed, and the other braisa says you don't have to check beneath the bed. And then the Gemara says there's another kasha because chorin achorin also is a kasha chorin achorin, because the first braisa says you do have to check the holes, and the other braisa says you don't have to check the holes. So Gemara says there is no stira. Chorin achorin lo kasha ha bi'ila ubetata vab mitzia. When the braisa said above that you don't have to check the chorim, it said only the chorei base helyonim, then tachtonim. The holes that are really, really high up or really, really low down, those are the holes you don't have to check. But if it's in the middle, somewhere in between that where it is usable, then I do have to check at least up until the area that I could reach, extend my hand inside. And with respect to the mita amita lokasha, that too is not a contradiction. The beds ha demidilei ha demita tasai depends what how high the bed was. If the bed was very low down, whereas the beneath the area was very inaccessible, then you don't have to check for chametz. But if the bed was higher up, where you were able to easily use that area which is below it, then you would have to in fact do bedikas chametz underneath the bed. So Gemara now says viotsos yain. Ein tzricha bedika. Is that true? That in the storage houses of wine, I don't have to check for bedika? Vatani, the braisa says otherwise. Otos yain tzarech bedika. I do need to inspect the my wine cellar. Otos shemen ein tzarech bedika. As opposed to the oil, I don't have to check. So what's the difference? Hach b'mayaskinan b'mistapik. They were the situation. If, let's say, they brought out some wine, and then they ran out of the wine, they needed to get more wine, so they sent in the waiter, the attendant, to go get more wine. So if it's a storage house where they would actually continue to use the wine during the course of the meal, so it's possible the waiter went in, he had some chametz on his hands, and he dropped some chametz while he was retrieving some wine. That's a case where we say you have to do bedika in otos yain. But if it's a wine cellar that they would not use to add more wine to the suda, no one would ever go during the meal to that otzos shayayin, then you would not need a bedika. So Gemara says, ihachi shemanami. So we should have the same chilek by oil. If you run out of oil during the meal, so if it's an otzos shel shemen that you would use for during the meal, shouldn't you require a bedika there? So why do we say by yain, it depends what type of otzos shayayin it is, but across the board we say an otzos shel shemen doesn't need a bedika. And the Gemara says, because shemen yesh keva l'achila, yain ein keva l'shtir. Apparently they knew exactly what type of, how much oil to use for the meal. The meal, we had 10 guys for the meal, so there's as much oil you need. Nobody uses more than this oil. There's a keva. You never have to add more oil during the course of the meal. But wine, who knows? They got really drunk, they got really thirsty, and it's very likely that during the meal they'll need more wine, so a certain otzos shayayin were accessible, were needed over the course of the meal. And the Gemara then adds on, Tana Rebbe Chia Asu Otzos Shecher Bebabel Kotos Yain Beretisel Bemistapik. And while the the main drink in Eretz Yisrael apparently was wine. In Bavel, the main drink was beer. So just like wine was the, you know, mistopic during the course of the meal in Eretz Yisrael, they'd continue to retrieve wine from the cellar. So to in Bavel, the beer, they ran out of beer, they'd get more beer during the course of the meal, which means, in terms of Bedikas Chametz, the Otos Shel Sheichar in Bavel would require a Bedika, just like the Otos Shel Yayin in Eretz Yisrael required a Bedika as well, because again, they were used during the course of the meal. So Gemara now says, Amar Rav Chista, Bei Dagim, Ein Tzarech Bedika. When it came to a house or whatever they kept their fish in, a freezer, a fridge, they kept their fish, that did not require a Bedika. But V'hatanya Tzrichem Bedika, we have another Brisa that says, the area where they would keep fish does require a Bedika. So Lokashia, Habu Ravrave, Habazutre, depends whether the fish are big or small. Rashi explains two wide lines down in Rashi. Rashi says, Habu Ravrave, when they're big, Ein tzarech bedika, sheyesh lam keva. When you're having big pieces of salmon, so you know each 10 people have a big piece of salmon. No one asks for seconds of a huge piece of salmon. So if it comes for a big piece of salmon, they know how much they need. Yesh la keva, ve'ein tzarech lamor lahavi be'emsa suda. But if it comes to zuchi, small pieces, you give a little tiny piece of fish here, a tiny piece of fish to that guy, they'll ask, okay, I have seconds as well if they're small, and therefore it is likely that they're going to retrieve more fish during the course of the meal and would require, therefore, a bedika. Gemara says along the same lines, Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, Bei Milche, Ube Kiriya. Bei Milche is the area where the house or room that keep salt. Bei Kiriya is where they keep the wax. These areas, Tzarech Bedika, because it's very likely that they'll run out of salt, they'll run out of candles, they'll need to add more wax, more salt. So those areas do require a Bedika. But Amar Rabba, Papa says, Bei Tzivi, Ube Tamri Tzarech Bedika. These areas as well require Bedika. Bei Tzivi is an area where they keep wood. Perhaps you have to add more wood to the fire. And the Bei Tamri, where they keep dates, that was also something that they would sometimes have to add more dates to the meal. So those areas require Bedika. So these are all just examples, but again, the point being, any area that you would bring chametz in, you'd have to do bedika. Any area that you would not bring bedika in, chametz in rather, you would not require bedika. And these are just examples of types of foods that would be used during the course of a meal. Gemara now says, last seven lines of the Amud here. Tana. Ein mechayavim oso lahachnis yado l'chorin ul'sadakin livdok mipnei asakana. The din is, you don't have to stick your hands in the holes, you don't have to stick your hands in the cracks to do bedika, because it's dangerous. What's dangerous about sticking your hand in a hole, in a crack? So my sakana, inema mipnei sakana sa'akrev, if it's because there might be a scorpion that's hiding in the hole or crack, kimishamish hechashamish, how do you use it in the first place? Meaning the understanding here is that you use the holes, you use the cracks during the year, you put chametz in there, whatever you do with the holes, but when it comes to doing bedika, don't do bedika. So if it's a concern that where you're doing bedika, you're going to get bitten by or stung by a scorpion, so you shouldn't have used it in the first place. So why is there even a chashash of using chametz? If it's no chametz there in the first place, then why even talk about checking it? It must be something different. So it can't be because of a scorpion. So then the Gemara says, lo tzricha d'nafal. It's a case where your house fell down or the wall fell down. So I used to put it in my cabinets. The house came crashing down. So now the Gemara says, don't check it. It's dangerous. The rubble can move, the wood can move. It could be dangerous. The nails, who knows? Don't check it. Gemara says, well, if it's a case where the house or wall fell down, inafel lama li bedika. If everything fell down and nothing's accessible, so what's the need for bedika? There might be chametz beneath the rubble. But if I can't access it, there's no chashash. If there's no bedikas chametz, it's already considered as if it's offer ba'alma. So Gemara says, Inafel, Lamali, what's the need to check? Vatsan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us? Chametz shenafla lav mapolas. If you have chametz and something fell, something caved in on the chametz, harehu kemivur. That's as if it's burnt. Burnt doesn't mean it has to be mamish burnt srefa, it means it can't be accessible. If I have a house that fell down and there's chametz that's 10 feet beneath, I'm not getting the chametz, it's done. There's no need for bedika in that case. So the Gemara says, Hasam she'ena kelev yachal lechapis achrav. When the din is that you don't have to inspect chametz beneath a mapolas, that's when the dog can't find it. If the dog can't find it, certainly you and I can't find it. Then we say it's kimavoar, and you don't have to do bedika. But hacha, here is when the wall fell down, and kisha kelev yachal lechapis achrav, the dog could sniff it out, so therefore since the kelev could get it, I also maybe could get it, I'd have to do bedika in that case. And the guard says, you know what? Even though the dog could get it, you shouldn't do an inspection because it's dangerous. You have a wall, a house that fell down. Don't go near the rubble and just stay away, your putter, because of the sakana. So the Gemara then says, But wait a second, you're doing the mitzvah. You're doing the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. Bedikas chametz is a shluchei mitzvah, and the din is shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin. You're not going to get the damage. So let you crawl through the rubble of your house and find the chametz. You're guaranteed to not get punished or damaged. Amar Rav Ashi shema tavid lo machat, vasala yunei basra. So maybe, while you're busy digging for the chametz, you might say, wait a second, I lost a needle, or I lost something else, let me find that. And you're going to lose focus of the mitzvah of chametz, you're going to start focusing on the money or property that you lost, and that's not a mitzvah to find your property, and that would be putting yourself in danger, because you're no longer a shluchei mitzvah at that very moment. So Gemara says, v'kia gavna lav mitzvah, even though I'm searching for my machat, my needle, or whatever I'm looking for, that's not a mitzvah. V'atanya, ha'omer selazul etztaka, b'shul sheyichya b'ni, ben olam haba. If I want to give tzedakah, one condition, that my son live, one condition, that I have zuchus, a chelik in olam haba, the din is, harei zet tzadik gamur. He's a tzadik gamur for doing so. Why did tzadik gamur? He's doing a mitzvah, but he has the wrong intention. He wants to get a schar for this. That's not how we do mitzvahs. So look at Rashi in the top here, Amud Beis. Rashi says, harei zet tzadik gamur, bedavar zeh. Rashi points out this matter. It's hard to say that just because a guy gives tzedakah, he's a tzaddik gamur, the guy be everything. The guy could be the biggest rasha, and he gives tzedakah. Suddenly he's a tzaddik. Rashi says he's a tzaddik, the guy be giving tzedakah. This particular mitzvah, but not that he's a tzaddik and everything else, then very easy to become a tzaddik gamur. So the guy be this particular mitzvah, he's a tzaddik gamur, even though he had the wrong intention. So Rashi says, we don't say he is a shalol lishma, ela, kai mitzvahs boro, shetziva lasa tzedakah. Lamaisa, he gave tzedakah like Hashem told him to do. Even though he had another intention of for his own sake or for his child's sake, still he gets the mitzvah. So here as well. The guy is doing bedikas chametz. He's looking for chametz, and he's also looking for his machat. So okay, so he's doing two things. He's doing a mitzvah, and he's also doing something else. But it doesn't negate the mitzvah. He's still osek in shluchei mitzvah when he's looking for the chametz. He's looking for two things now. He's looking for chametz, and he's looking for his machat. That doesn't take away. The guy's giving tzedakah for tzedakah, and he's also giving it for his child. So they're two different intentions. But still, the negative intention doesn't override, negate the positive kavana. So here as well, he's still osek b'mitzvah. So why would that no longer be considered shluchei mitzvah? And the Gemara says, no, basar, dilma basar, debadik, asiliune basar. No, after he completed doing bedikas chametz, you know what? Once I went through here, let me look for my machat now. So the mitzvah is over. If it's during the mitzvah, he says, I'll look for both the chametz and the machat. Okay, then he's protected. But once the bedikas chametz is over, now he says, I'm going to look for my machat. That's one intention of simply looking for his own property. There is no mitzvah, and that would be the sakana. The Gemara says, if your house falls down, don't do bedikas chametz, even if the kelev could sniff it out. Look at the top Tosas here for a second. Tosas writes, Sheyizke le'olam haba, harei zet tzadik gamur. Right? Even though he has the wrong kavanah, shalol shem shemayim, he wants to gain something out of this, he's still called the tzadik gamur. So Tosas asks, but had the Tanan, the mission of Maseches Avos tells us, al tiyu kavadim ha-mishamshin sarav al-manas le-kabal pras. The mission says a person should not be like a slave or a servant that serves his master in order to get paid for it. Hayin b'kia gavna, shim lo tava lo osa tova, shim mitzapeh toa u'mischaret al-tzdaka sh'asa. This is talking about if the guy regrets the fact, if he does it on condition he's going to get something out of this, and he doesn't get the reward, then he regrets even the ma'isa mitzvah. That's where the Mishnah says it's a terrible thing to do that. Our case here of Amisha Eino Toa Mischarit, the guy says, you know what? I did it for the purpose of my child. But even if that doesn't happen to my child, in the end of the day, I'm not regretting it. I still did the mitzvah. I'm still happy with the mitzvah tzedakah. Harei zeh tzadik gamur. So it depends whether the guy will regret. Is the reward he's going to receive, is that going to negate his mitzvah? He'll be upset, he'll regret it, or will it not? And that will dictate whether he's a tzaddik gamur or he's not a tzaddik gamur. Gemara now says, back inside two lines down, another definition, another interpretation of what is a sakana of inspecting in the holes of a house or a wall. So comes along Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Mishum Sakanas HaNachrim. It's the danger of the neighbor, the non-Jewish neighbor. What's the danger of the non-Jewish neighbor? So uplimi he, the position of plimi, he's a tana. The tanya chor sheben yehudi larami bodek ad malkom shiyada magas vashar mivala belibo. If you have a wall that you share with a non-Jew, so you should only inspect till your hand can reach, and whenever you can't reach, just do bittel belev. Comes on plimi uplima writes amar kol atzmo eino bodek bipnesakana. You shouldn't inspect the hole at all because it's dangerous. What's dangerous? My sakana. Because of concern of witchcraft, ki ishamish hecha shamish. So the concern here, I'm explaining what's going on, that let's say my neighbor is going to choshed me for using holes because I'm doing some type of machshefa, witchcraft in the hole, he might come kill me. So that's the concern, that he might kill me for trying to do something strange, some type of magic. So then if that's the case, kiyashtamish, heichashamish, how could I have used it in the first place? But I used it during the year with chametz, so shouldn't I not use any holes because he's going to be choshed me for machshefa, and then he's going to try to kill me? So certainly that's not the case, because we certainly can use it during the year. Otherwise, we wouldn't even talk about bedikas chametz. So Gemara says, no. Hasam kishamish biyamama v'nuhura v'lo masik adaita. You're using the hole of the wall during the daytime. That's normally how I use it during the rest of the year. There's nothing strange about using a hole in my wall. I stick things in there. I hide things in there. I play games in there. I don't know. That's all fine. But hachalayla v'shragahu u'maisik adaita. But here, I'm checking at nighttime. I'm going with a little candle. I'm looking in my holes in the wall. The guy's like, what in the world is that neighbor doing? My Jewish neighbor, that's a strange thing. With a candle near the holes, he's probably doing some witchcraft. Then he's going to start getting suspicious, and then it becomes dangerous. So that's why Plimo said, don't do bedika with a nair at the holes. Just leave it alone. Be mevatabel leiv and protect yourself. So it's a sakana, not of the rubble of the house that fell down. Rather, it's a sakana of your neighbor, a non-Jewish neighbor, who might be choshed you for being involved in machshefa. So Gemara says, why is that a concern? We have a klal, v'hama Rebbe Elazar, shluchei mitzvah eino nizokin. I'm performing a mitzvah. I'm doing the mitzvah b'dikas chametz. So I should not be concerned of my neighbor damaging me, because the Torah tells me, the Chazal teaches us, I'm protected when I'm on shluchei mitzvah. So Gemara says, heicha de shchiach hezeka shayni. But when the damage is very common, when there's a shchicha hezeka, then you cannot rely on the guarantee of shluchei mitzvah eino nizokin. Shluchei mitzvah eino nizokin is only in a stam case. But when heicha de shchicha hezeka, your non-Jewish neighbor is going to be choshedu, which is apparently a common response to a guy looking in his hole with a candle, then it's already something we cannot rely on. We have this based on a pasuk by Shmuel, where Shmuel was concerned he wouldn't follow the command of Hashem because his kid said he got, might get killed along the way. There's no shluchei mitzvah than listening to Nevuah of Hashem. Look what the pasuk says. Shenemar, v'yomer Shmuel, Shmuel says, Eich eile, how will I go? V'shama Shol, to speak to Shol, for again, he's going to kill me. But Yom Hashem Eglas Bakar V'Tikach B'Yadcha, he told him to take a cow and so on, he'll be fine. But initially, Shmuel says, I can't go, it's dangerous. What do you mean? Hashem told you to do something. That's Shluchei Mitzvah. Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizokim. But Heicha the Shchicha Zeka, when you're trying to step up against Shaul, Shaul apparently was a very dangerous person at that time, so therefore he was able, was a good chashash, until Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him another Eitzah, how you'll be protected. An interesting Shaila comes up in Halacha. It comes to Tfiyas HaDerech. Tfiyas HaDerech, we know the din is, when you're traveling somewhere far, you're traveling on an airplane, you're supposed to say Tfiyas HaDerech, whenever there's a Makum Sakana. So the post can talk about, let's say you're going to do a travel somewhere for a mitzvah. You're going to, I don't know, to get married. You're going to give tzedakah. So you're shluchei mitzvah, eidin nizokin. Do I have to say Tfiyas HaDerech when I'm going to do a mitzvah? There's no danger. Hashem tells us, the Chazal say, shluchei mitzvah, eidin nizokin. So some, in fact, say, when you're going to do a mitzvah, you don't have to say Tfiyas HaDerech. Other posts can argue, and they say, not true. You do have to say it, because the din is shluchei mitzvah in nizokin, unless it's heicha de shchiach hezeka. By definition, when do you say Tfiyas HaDerech? When you're going in a makum sakana. So by definition, it's makum sakana. So even though I'm shluchei mitzvah, but since I'm traveling overseas, I'm traveling in the airplane somewhere, that's makum sakana. I would have to, in fact, say Tfiyas HaDerech. Others say another reason why you'd have to say Tfiyas HaDerech even when you're shluchei mitzvah, because there's a big machlokas rishonim. If you remember back in the sugyas in Brachos Daf Chav Tes or so, that Rashi says, we all think, if I were to ask anybody, 10 people in the room, they'd all tell me, why do you say Tfiyas HaDerech? It's a tefillah that should be safe, it's a makum sakana. But there's a Rashi there that says, it's because it's in the tefillas reshus. When you leave from a place, you ask your Rebbe, can I leave? It's okay if I travel from here, I'm going to move to Eretz Yisrael, can I go? So Tfiyas HaDerech is a form of netiyas reshus, asking permission from the Melech, Hashem says. Had Rashi read, Melech Machem Lachem, I'm asking, can I leave? Now obviously there's no response back, but it's a nice thing to do, to ask permission, I'm going to leave from here, I'm going to travel to Los Angeles. So it's a netiyas reshus. Nothing to do with sakana at all. I'll bring you a nafkamina. The Gemara says, when do you say Tfiyas HaDerech? When you travel a parsa. So some say parsa means, if you're going a distance of a total parsa or more, that's called makum sakana. Less than a parsa, then it's not considered dangerous. You don't have to say it. Rashi says, you know what parsa means? The first parsa of your trip. If you could be going, I don't know, 20 parsels, if you didn't say in the first parsa Tfiyas HaDerech, even though I've got another 19 parsels to go, I don't say Tfiyas HaDerech, only the first parsa. Why not? I'm still 19 more parsels to go. It's still very dangerous. The idea is because only in the first parsa is it called Netiyas Reshus. If I already left, I'm like, oh, could I leave? You already left. You can't ask permission after you had left. So according to Rashi, you would not say Tfiyas HaDerech if you already left beyond the parsa. So we see that there is an idea of Tfilas HaDerech being a Netilas Rishus, asking permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to leave. According to that, it would seem that even Shluchei Mitzvah, perhaps you should have to say Tfilas HaDerech to ask permission. And you might say, well, I need to ask permission to do a mitzvah. Of course, it's understood Hashem is going to let me go do a mitzvah. So maybe even both ways, maybe you wouldn't have to say it even Netilas Rishus, but just interesting lumdus about the nature of Tfilas HaDerech. Okay. Gemara now says, last two narrow lines of the Amud here. Boy minei merav, honey b'nei be'rav, the dairi be'bagamahu. The Talmidim of Rav, they were living in an area, in some villages in the field. So what's the din mahu? L'meisei kadma v'chashucha. Can they wake up kadma early, v'chashucha v'choshech late? L'be'rav, can they travel early in the morning before the sun rises? And late at night after the sun sets, when it's very dark and dangerous, are they allowed to travel back and forth to the Beis Medrash? Amalu, naisi alai val tzavarai. They could come on me and on my neck. I'm responsible. I'll take care of them. They're guaranteed to be protected because they're coming to do a mitzvah of limud Torah. So then the Gemara asks, what about nizamai? What about to return back? The mitzvah's over at that point. The mitzvah's over. They're going back to sleep. There's no mitzvah in sleeping per se. So amar luhu lo yadanu. I'm not sure the answer about whether you'd be protected on the way home. Coming to daven, come to learn in the morning, you certainly could go before the sun rises. But to come back after the sun sets, I'm not so sure. So Itmar Amar Rebbe Lazar Shluchei Mitzvah Einu Nizokin Lo Bali Chasan V'Lo Bachazirasan. The Rebbe Lazar expands this concept and says that people who are on the mission to perform a mitzvah are protected both on the way to and the way back from a mitzvah. So there you have it. Kiman, who do they hold like? Hai Tana, the following Tana. Desanya Isi Ben Yehuda Omer Klape She'amr Torah. The pasuk says V'Lo Yachmod Ish Etz Artzicha. This is talking about when a person goes to the mitzvah of Alila Regal 3 times a year. We have to go visit HaKadosh Baruch, if you will, to Har Bayis, bring Karbanos, and the Shlosh Regalim. So the pasuk says, Lo Yachmon Ishes Artzecha, don't love, don't desire your land. Don't be so careful about your land. Leave your hand La Karka behind you, and just come. Everything will be protected. So the drasha is, Melamed Shetei Parascha Roa Be'efer Ve'ein Chaya Mazikasa. Don't worry, your cow will be fine. The cow is going to be grazing in the field, and no animal is going to hurt it. Tana Galascha Manakaras Ba'ashra. The chicken's going to peck away in the garbage, eat fine, it's food. Ve'ein Chulda Mazikasa. No weasel is going to come snatch it away. Everything will be protected. So if these animals, which are very vulnerable in general, the cow and the chicken are not very strong animals, they're very vulnerable to the predators, and yet the Torah tells us, since you're on the way of Shluchei Mitzvah, Lila Regel, they will be protected. So if that's true of the property, the animals of a person, certainly Bnei Adam, She'ein Darchon Lazuk, Alachas V'kam V'kam, human beings who are not so vulnerable, who are not prone to be endangered, how much more so should the people themselves be protected? So just Rashi points out here, quotes from the Gemara Baba Kama, Rashi says, you look at Klape Shamra Torah, Rashi says, Mitoch Shamra Torah Kach, the Torah guarantees that our property won't get damaged. The Kol Shekein Gufo, certainly a person himself, Dein Darchel Lazog, how is it, why is the humans are more protected, or less vulnerable than animals? The Gemara says, as Rashi points out, the Adam Islay Mazala, Veino Mahir Lios Nizuk Begufo. We have a certain mazel. So the machlok is what mazel means. The machlok is Rishon Baba Kama. Some mazel means we have a certain mazel, like a certain malach that protects us. Animals don't have these mazels like we have. Others say, no, we have das. Mazel means das. We have a das. We have more of an awareness of our surroundings than animals, perhaps, or perhaps more than some of the animals that are prey. So we're able to protect ourselves much more than certain types of animals. Either way, if our animals are protected while we are on the way and the mission of a mitzvah, certainly we ourselves, the human beings themselves, the bnei adam, are protected. So the Gemara says, okay, that's all ein li ela balicha. That's only in traveling to aliyah l'regel. But what about b'chazar, on the way back, minayin? How do I know when the mitzvah is over, I'm coming home, how do I know there's guaranteed protection to me and my property? Tamalomer ufanisa baboker v'lachta lo alecha, and the morning you go back home, melamed shetelech v'timtza alecha b'shalom, you're going to go back home, and your ohel will be shalom, just like it was when you left. So we have a guarantee both on the way there and the way back, everything will be protected. So once you've established, if I'm coming home from a mitzvah, my property and I am protected, certainly on the way to mitzvah, I'm protected as well. So why mention both the halicha and chazar? Just mention on the chazar, I'm protected, and kavachomer, I'll understand, behalicha, I'm also protected. So Gemara says, you're right. The drasha really is only in the second part. Ufanisa baboker valachta, on the way home you'll be protected. Kavachomer on the halicha. So what do we learn from the drasha of lo yachmod ishes artzecha? To teach us lechadir Rabbi Ami, damer Rabbi Ami kol adam sheyesh lo karka ola leregel v'she'ein lo karka ein ola leregel. Who is chayv in mitzvah v'li leregel? It's a drasha here. Only a person who has property. A person has property, who leaves it behind, he has to go ahead and do the Alila Rego. A guy who has no property, a guy who's homeless, he's potter from the midst of Alila Rego. This perhaps reminds you of the beginning, we had Daf Gimel Mabez. We had the case of Rehudim Ben Bubba, was it? Where that certain Arami, he wanted the tail, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseir, he wanted the tail of the Pesach, and he ended up getting killed for it. And Tosa asks the question, why wasn't Rehudim Ben Beseir, why didn't he go do a Lila Rego? And one of the answers Tosa says is because maybe he didn't have any karka. And a guy who doesn't have karka, he's potter from the midst of a Lila Rego. That's the drasha here. Now what's the reason behind the drasha? I forgot to check it, but I'm pretty sure the Maharsha says, part of the drasha is why does going to a Lila Rego have to do with the karka? As part of a going to do a mitzvah, there's a certain mesiras nefesh involved in it. The guy has property, so it's mesiras nefesh to leave it for a few days, to leave it on, all the Jews are leaving. All of them are leaving the five towns, and they go to Yerushalayim for a week, no one's here to watch over, they go away for vacation, that's when all the people are stealing the, people's cars and the packages. So still, when you have mesiras nefesh, when you leave your property behind, so then that shows your love for Torah. The guy's got no karka, he's no land, there's no mesiras nefesh for him to leave to anything behind, and that's why I think the Maharsha says one is pater from Alila Regel if he has no karka.
If you had a long-term lease, would you be obligated?
I'm not sure how far this goes, I don't know, I'm not sure. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abin Bar Rav Ada, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Mipnei Ma, Ein Peros Ginosar Bishalayim. We know up in the Kinneret, the Gemara tells us in Brachos of the Gemara in Sota that these delicious fruit, Peros Ginosar, beautiful fruit, delicious. And the Gemara says, why don't they have them in Yerushalayim? Why are they only up in the north? Why not Yerushalayim? Kedei shelo yehei olei regalim omrim. We don't want the people who would travel to the base of Mikdash three times a year and say, il mole lo aleinu elo alinu elo leechel peres kinosar b'Yerushalayim dayenu. Had we only come here just to have the fruits of the peres kinosar, that's enough. Meaning they wouldn't care so much about Alila Regel. They'd be more interested in the fruit themselves. So Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want to have the fruit in Yerushalayim, lest they start saying how delicious the fruit were. So he sent them up north, that's where the Peres Ginosa were, and not to perhaps misguide anyone who went to do Alila Rego. In a similar fashion, the Gemara says, and Nimtzeis Alila Shalolishma, turned out that their Alila Rego was Shalolishma. We wanted to be very pure intentions of going simply to go visit and present yourself to the Shechina. Kayotibo, in a similar way, Amar Bidustaya Baribiane, Mibnei Ma Ein Chame Teveria Vishalim, why would the hot springs of Teveria not up, why were they not in Yerushalayim? Why were they up in Tiberia? So they shouldn't say, have we not only come to wash in the warm springs of Yerushalayim, that would have been enough. Turns out that their aliyah to Yerushalayim is Shalolishma. They did it for the hot springs. So for that reason, Hashem said, I'm not going to put hot springs in Yerushalayim. I'm going to place them elsewhere, lest that people have wrong intentions when doing the mitzvah of aliyah l'rega. So Gemara now says, we're going back to the Mishnah. Do you remember the Mishnah at the end of Beis Ben Aleph? There's Machlokit, Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai, about which areas of the Martif, of the wine cellar, does a person have to check? The barrels, the top, the bottom. So just to show the language, the Mishnah had said, B'ma Amru, Beis Shiros, B'Martif, Malkum Shemachnis, and B'Chamit, the Mishnah said. The two rows of the wine cellar. So before we get to the rest of the line, the Gemara says, Martif, look at the Gemara now, Martif, Man Dachashmei. Where exactly was the word Martif mentioned in the Mishnah that we're now introducing a Martif? So Gemara says, "Hachi kamar, komakum she'ein machnis and b'chametz ein tzarich bedika. Any room or area that you don't bring chametz in, you don't have to do bedika. V'otzas yain, v'otzas shemen nami ein tzarich bedika. The storage houses of wine and the storage houses of oil, you also don't have to do bedika. V'me'a amru shtei shiros b'martef makum she'machnis and b'chametz u'b'mistapik. When do you have to check the first two rows of the area of the two barrels of wine? That's in a martef, a wine cellar that was used typically to bring wine, additional wine, throughout the course of the meal. But an osa shayayin, which is an area that no one uses during the course of a meal, that doesn't require, but a martef does require. So that's what we're referring to. So the two rows of the martef, of the wine cellar, you do have to do an inspection. But which two rows? That was machlokis Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So I'm reading the Mishnah again. Beis Shammai said, Beis Shiros al pnei kol martef, the two rows covering the entire martef. We'll see what that means. And Beis Hillel says, the shtei shiros hachitonos shein el yonos. These are two words that seem to contradict each other. Two rows that are on the outside, two rows that are on the top. So we're going to explain both shitas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai again says, the two rows that are pnei kol martef, which sounds more than that of Beis Hillel. So Gemara wants to know, Beis Shammai omim shtei shiros the Kol Martev, Kol Pnei Martev, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shtei Shiros, Shamru, Min Ha'aretz, Vad Shmei Korot. It's referring to, if you have pictures that are helpful, but if you face the barrels in front of you, so they're from the bottom to the top, the two rows, and the second row behind it, those first two rows, from top to bottom. That's the definition according to Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Shura Achas, Kimin Gam. No, it's the shape of a gam, which is the row on the facing you, and the row all the way on top. So it's two rows, but it's the out rows, the vertical row in front of you and the horizontal row on top. Those are the two rows according to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara then says, Tani Kavasi de Rabbi Yehuda, Tani Kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan. It's a brayso that supports each of these explanations. Tani Kavasi de Rabbi Yehuda, Beishame Omrim Shtei Shiros Al Pnei Kol Martev, V'Shtei Shiros Shamru Min Ha'aretz Vad Shmei Kara, from the floor to the ceiling and the row behind it. That's the Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. And Tani Kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan, Shtei Shiros Al Pnei Kol Martev, Chitzona, Roes Pesach, the outer one that sees the entrance way, which is the vertical row, and El Yona, the top row, the horizontal row, Roes Akar, that sees the beams, that sees the ceiling, Shelefnim Heimanu, that's inside of it, Ushelamat Heimanu, but that which is beneath or behind each of those rows, Ein Tzach Badika. So that brisa supports the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, that again, the first row up vertically, and the first row on top horizontally. So those are the two opinions within Shitas Beis Shammai. Comes along now, Beis Hillel, Omim Shtei Shiros, Hachitonos, Shein El Yonos. This is going to be a much smaller shear of which barrels you have to check, but it says the word outside and the word top. So how do you define Chitonos, Shein El Yonos? So Amar Rav, El Yona, Vishilamate Manu, the top one, which is just the top line, the top row, and the one that's beneath it. So just the first top rows and the top rows, not the bottom, not the Haaretz Adrakia, just the top two rows of the barrels, the front rows that you see. If you look at the picture, it's just very helpful if you don't see what I'm saying. The first two rows that you see, top gets, whatever, hopefully you'll see the picture. And Shmuel Amar El Yona Vishilefnim Heimanu. He says, no, that top row, you agree, and the one behind it. Not the one beneath it, but the one behind it. That's Machlokas. Everybody agrees that top row in front is definitely requiring it. The Machlokas is also the one below it, or the one behind it. That's the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So Gemara says, my time at the Rav. Why does Rav say it's the one that's beneath it? Chitzonos, it's the one that's the outside. So the outside one's the one that you could see. So the top two rows that you could see. For her, El Yonas Katayim, but it doesn't say on top. So top, doesn't that mean that both of them should be on the top level, not the level below it? So he explains, Lamute Tasa, the Tatei Yasyas, means it, anything below it. Top means don't do the ones lower down, but the top two are still considered El Yonas, but don't do one that's beneath it. Shmuel Amar, El Yonah, Shlefnim Heimanu, he felt the top one and the one that's behind it. So my time, what was his reason? Daik El Yonas. The word says El Yonas. It says Chitzonos Shein El Yonas. The top means they have to be from the top row only, not anything beneath the top row. Val Chitzona doesn't say Chitzona, where it means it sounds like you should be able to see both rows, and the one behind it you can't see. It's not Chitzona. Lemute Giviyasa Diviyasa, to exclude the area that's beneath it. That's what it means. Chitzona. Don't do anything further behind it. The first two, that's called Chitzona. Even though the second row I can't really see, that's still called Chitzona. But behind that, that's already called Panimi. That's called Giviyasa. That you certainly don't have to check. And finally, the Gemara says, Rabbi Chia, Tana Kavasa de Rav, Vekula Tana Kavasa de Shmuel, Vilchza Kavasa de Shmuel. So Rav Chia taught like Rav, and all the other time taught like Shmuel. That it means the one below it. And the halacha is, we pass like Shmuel, El Yona, Vishlefnim Heimanu, the one that's in outside and the one that's right behind it. Okay, we will stop here, since we will continue tomorrow. Tomorrow is the harder daf, by the way.